Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Esprit Radio.
Welcome to the neighborhood.
That's right. Welcome to our neighborhood. Welcome to Black on Black Crime, our point counterpoint program where we talk issues, news. Sometimes we play a game or two, but we don't do crime. If you're not familiar with our program, Black on Black Crime is when black people overtly focus, criticize, or analyze other black people in areas they won't consider anyone else. You can join in on today's topic by calling in or sending your comments in the chat room. With that being said, on with the show. Welcome again to Black on Black Crime. I'm your host, Jerome. On this show, we have a loyal listener suggested topic, and it is Dr. Ben Carson versus the President of the United States. Now, he made some comments at the National Prayer Breakfast. That is going to be our main topic today. We also have some comments. It's kind of media made-up stories, and one of them is about Denzel Friend's comments. He said something about a made-up headline that he doesn't have many white actor friends, and somebody ran with that. So we're going to talk about that. We also have an update to Slavery by Another Name. It was a segment that we did based upon the PBS special that's being shown this week. We also have Wayne Brady. Wayne Brady may have to, and if you watch Dave Chappelle, you know what we mean. So we have some comments from Wayne Brady and entertainment updates and more. So thanks for joining us again. Our call-in number is 909-265-9189. Just remember, keep your comments relevant and avoid profanity, vulgarity, and obscenity, and we're all cool. So before we get started, let's go to the commissioner. How you doing, commissioner?
Hey.
Uh-oh, commissioner's on the road, right?
Yes, on the road again.
All right.
On the road again. Yeah, well, hey, how are you?
I'm good. And, you know, and we also have a surprise guest today.
Do we?
Yes, I'm thinking Finesse is on the board today. So let's see if we have Finesse in today. I guess we're going to have to wait until he puts his hand up. You know, he might be a little bit busy. You know, Finesse is kind of working in the midst of everything. So we'll see if he's going to join us today or when he can kick in. We also, I just want to give a good shout to Daniel, one of our other partners in crime. He is going to be out today, so many blessings and wishings. Feel better, brother. I know he's going to be with us next week, so that will be cool also. How are you doing, Kathleen? I forgot to ask.
Good, yes, I'm doing fine, thank you. How are you?
I'm good, you know, so,
I said good.
Oh, that's good. You know, before we get officially started, you know Jermaine Jackson changed his name to Jermaine Jackson, J-A-C-K-S-U-N? He officially changed his name to Jackson. I don't know what that means.
Oh, boy. I don't know, he's just probably hanging out with Snoop Dogg.
Now, that's a black on black crime. You can't throw Snoop in there because of Jermaine. And for those who've been awaiting the long-awaited sequel to The Best Man, the film has a release date now of November 15th, and it's titled The Best Man Holiday.
Oh, I can't wait to see that.
Oh, I'm sure. See, this is why I mentioned it. Kai's not here yet, so I wasn't sure if. You know, we need to save our best man updates. Although we have Denzel's story on the program, so that might bring her in. And also,
Swagger with a cane. That's his new name. Swagger with a cane.
Oh, gosh. Okay. And we're not going to do any Oscar stuff. Now, if Daniel was on, I know Daniel, I saw some of his comments earlier about the Oscars, but I'm not sure if anybody watched them. Did you watch them?
I did not.
Okay. No big loss.
But I heard Argo won for Best Picture.
Oh, yes, Argo did win, and the First Lady did that announcement for Argo, which was kind of cool. But Denzel didn't win, and can't remember who else was up. Well, not many people have interest in me. So
he did win. I changed it. I changed it so that he won.
Oh, okay. Okay, so in your mind, Denzel won.
Yeah.
Oh, good. That was a good day. All right. Now, despite the outright denial of the ancestors' 40 acres and a mule, 40 acres of land and a mule, and the devastating attack and dismantling of Black Wall Street and the failure of the war on drugs, and some African-Americans do believe that we are entitled to reparations. So on March 6, 2013, is the 150th anniversary of the shameful Dred Scott decision. The National Reparations Committee will be hosting a National Reparations Day, their first annual event to focus on the critical decision about seeking reparations for the community. It's in California. It's in Compton, California, actually. The committee is announced that a Gambian delegation, a delegation from Gambia, and members of Kunta Kinte's family, speaking of roots, will stand in solidarity. They came in from Gambia for this event. So this event is March 6th in California. Now, the organization has set up an Indigo Pop crowdfunding page to acquire donations for the event and future initiatives. Also, in Cobra, and former Chicago alderman Dorothy Tillman organized a reparations campaign in the Chicago area years ago. So I just thought I'd announce that and get our show started with a separate public service announcement before we go to public service announcements of what was going on. I didn't know all that stuff was going on in the world, so I thought I'd share it.
Well, I just want to, when can I get in line?
See, you know what? It is people like you that give that thing a bad name. It's not a line.
Where's the line? And, you know, do I have to buy my own mule accommodation or?
Yeah. Okay, Kathleen, I'm going to stop you now because, you know, everybody's serious about that because on this show, you know, we're doing an entertainment news. Did you get a chance to see the show Slavery by Another Name?
Yes.
Well, I have some updates for Slavery by Another Name. Comedian Louis C.K. was on Jay Leno, and he was talking about race, which kind of brought home.
I don't think that it's a bad thing.
Okay. I'm not saying you think it's a bad thing, but we're going to talk about that. We also have some news stories also later in the program. ESPN is doing their 9 for 9. It's inspired by the 40th anniversary of Title IX, which was in 1972. And we're going to talk about that on the program. But our main topic is Dr. Ben Carson versus the President of the United States again. We had a note sent in by a loyal listener who kind of said, why don't you guys do this next week? I want to hear your opinions on it. And we're going to read her note, and we're going to do that a little bit later. But first, before we do all of that, again, our number is 909-265-9189. It's 909-265-9189. You're listening to Black on Black Crime. Kathleen, before we go out, you sound like you are in the wind. You in the wind?
A little bit, yeah. Not 3 sheets in the wind, though. I just want to be clear.
That wasn't necessary for me. Because,
yeah,
you know, three sheets in the wind is not good. It's not a good day.
No.
Yeah, Kathleen is not 3 sheets in the wind. And before I forget, you know, last week, if you didn't check out last week's show, we had music legend Stevie Wonder versus Lil Wayne or Dwayne Carter Jr. We had a black-on-black crime day in history, and we talked about Slavery by Another Name. If you want to check that out, you can go to ACN, Ask Kathleen Network, and check it out. You can check us out on S3 Radio. Send us a note on bobc@solarsyracuse.com, and we will send you some links to those programs. So stay with us, and we'll be back after we take a quick break.
Welcome to Esprinet News 92nd Newsbreak. President Barack Obama will deliver the commencement address at Morehouse College in Atlanta this spring. The Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. is among the historically black institution's alumni Commencement is scheduled for May 19th. Microsoft officially launched its Outlook.com email service this week while simultaneously announcing the end of its other popular service, Hotmail. All users of Microsoft's Hotmail and other email services operating under different domains such as MSN.com will be automatically converted to Outlook.com by the summer. Mississippi lawmakers have officially ratified the 13th Amendment to the Constitution, which banned slavery in 1865, 848 years after other states voted to approve the amendment. Mississippi voted to approve it in 1995, but it was never sent to the Federal Register and never made it official. Kentucky was the second to last holdout to ratify it in 1976. Reverend Run and Tyrus Gibson's highly anticipated book, Manology, made the New York Times bestseller list its first week out. There you have it. I'm Jerome Esprit for Esprinet News on ACN.
Starting Sunday, this coming Sunday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, a new show called Professional Style, where we talk about singles, professionals, parents, travel, lifestyle, and living. If you are a professional, if you're single, you're a parent, or whatever your status in life, Professional Style, every Sunday night at 8 p.m. right here on Ask Kathleen Network.
Toyota Prius. Those who get it, get it.
Black on Black Crime. I'm your host, Jerome. We're here with our commissioner, Kathleen. You can join us, 909-265-9189. Are you still cooling, Kathleen?
I'm still cold, Jerome.
Okay. All right. So, you know, first, before we go into our main topic, you know, there were some comments that Denzel Washington made, I guess, over the I think it was a week or so ago, and he was being interviewed by The Guardian, of course. You know, they're still talking about flight and these other things. But I kind of find it interesting, and not sure if this is a black-on-black crime, when black news outlets or web sources, blogs, make up headlines to create controversy. So there was this headline about Denzel that says that Denzel Washington don't have many black or don't have many white actor friends. And so I picked up this story along with some others because it's going to go with our theme today of being used by the media to create a black-on-black crime. So here's the story. According to Denzel in an interview with The Guardian, which is in the UK, he said, actually, even within the industry, I don't have many actor friends. My friends are old friends, one an ex-music guy, another a restaurant owner, another an ex-pro player. He said he doesn't make friends to try to get a job, and he doesn't kiss butt. And he said, my wife and I were raised right. I don't want movie star friends. And being African-American, there are no big movie stars to hang out with anyway when he was starting out. He was just saying early on. He said they were just the third guy from the back. For whatever reason, I've never befriended any white actors. Now, The Guardian omitted a part of that, a part of what Washington said. After he said, never befriended any white actors, he mentioned except and listed Tom Hanks and Mel Gibson and Julia Roberts. As the interview went on, Washington said, I'm a working actor. what's a celebrity anyway? I'm just a working actor. So were they wrong? Is that a black-on-black crime to actually create a headline that Denzel Washington doesn't have many white actor friends?
Heck yeah.
Isn't that sick?
Especially if they leave out except...
except the people he named.
Like huge people that he named. Like huge. Like who's friends with Tom Hanks? I'm like, seriously.
Right. I guess it was kind of to the point of how come Denzel is not hanging out with the Hollywood crowd. But why would black media in particular throw light on the fact that Denzel does or does not have a lot of white actors that he hang around? Why would they shed light on? Why would they pick that part out of the article? Now, we know why The Guardian, and, you know, they're in the UK. We know why The Guardian would make a racial issue out of it, but they really didn't. It was just in the story. They left a part out, but the people who picked it up, I'm not going to say any names, but it just seems kind of strange that they would headline the story with he doesn't have any white friends.
Okay, so I'm going to commit a black-on-black crime. Who picked it up? Voice-watching people?
Well, they picked it up, too. I did see it on theirs, and they used the same headline. But I would say they did the griot. You know, if Finesse was here, we'd know that he would yell about the griot. But at the same time, a bunch of them picked it up, but it did come out of, as far as I can tell, out of black media, out of web media. Now, we know the griot's not owned by black folks, but still, NBC, the griot.
Yeah. It used to be, but oh well.
You said it used to be. Well, that's relative to me, right? Because even if we look at The Root had a story, and the story says, here's the title, is Obama ashamed of Tiger Woods?
Is Obama what?
Ashamed of Tiger Woods.
I think I saw that, and I just kept moving. I didn't even read it.
All right, so let me give you a piece of this story. President Obama... It said that he spent most of his life in the national spotlight doing everything in his power to prove that he doesn't embody negative stereotypes. So many of them are associated with black men. Hanging out with someone who embodies such a stereotype, particularly someone whom the president once drew regular comparison to, a fellow multiracial, high-achieving bridge builder, is problematic even after he was comfortably reelected. Now, this is how they described the president in the article. Now, this is The Root. I guess it's a black-owned paper, right? They said he still needs public approval to push an agenda, and it's hard to do that if his likability takes a dent. He knows this. His advisors know this, and that's why they didn't tell the press that he was hanging out with Tiger Woods. But the title said, is he ashamed of Tiger Woods, but then criticized them that he's not acting black.
I'm sorry, but I feel like I need a degree to understand the story even. I mean, I don't even get it. I'm sorry, I really don't get it.
It was about criticizing the president, and again, our main topic today is Dr. Ben Carlson's statements at the National Prayer Breakfast. We're going to talk about that later, but it's the criticizing the president just to criticize him. Now, one saying that he's not, again, it's about the negative headlines, and these are coming from black media sources, so you can say what you want about national and regular media doing a certain impression, but they will pick this up if these so-called black media sites keep pushing that as him not being black enough or the president's not doing something that's according to black folks. Another example, the griot had the headline, the president and the first lady takes separate vacations. What does that mean?
Lord have mercy.
Right. They have kids, right? And so if he gets a day off, which, again, this president has taken probably the least amount of days of the last four or five presidents. And once they take a vacation because he has kids, I think he took his one daughter had a tennis tournament or something, and they took the other daughter someplace else. But the griot, again, it's NBC-owned, not black-owned anymore, but chose to take the angle, what does this mean for their marriage that they're taking separate vacations? He's the president. He's busy. It's a full-time job.
I wish I had the guy's phone number or the girl's phone number who wrote that article.
Well, in presidential vacations, the days the average president takes a year, Reagan took 60.5. Bush Sr. took 135.75 a year. That's how many vacation days he had. Bush Jr.
Bush is 65 days in the year, so he had more than half the year off.
He had more than half the year off. Bush Jr. had 127.5 days off a year. Gulf War, financial crisis, he had 127.5 days off.
9/11,
127 and a half days off. President Obama had 32.75 days off per year.
Well, okay. Mercy.
Right, and so when you start talking vacation time, he doesn't have a lot in comparison, although, again, they're never really on vacation, but he didn't officially take days off of his schedule, especially like the two Bushes, which were in the hundreds, and Reagan was at least 60 and a half days a year. Okay, so back to our topic. Now, these guys are making up these stories just to create the controversy, but I don't get it. I think it's a black-on-black crime for any – well, it's only a black-on-black crime. Let's define this. Black-on-black crime is when black people overtly focus, criticize, or analyze on other black people in areas they won't consider anyone else. So instead of us seeing a lot of, you know, Lindsay Lohan kind of stories, we're seeing criticism that's unfair criticism because the spotlight's on him because he's black, not because of anything else. So we have the Denzel comments about him befriending white actors. I don't know why that's anybody's business. And The Root asking, is the president ashamed of Tiger Woods? Just all those things just seem unnecessary to me.
They are both black-on-black crimes.
Okay.
Never seen an article about whether or not Julia Roberts has any black female friends who are actresses.
I don't think anybody white does that. Like, I don't think so. Right? Nobody asks them if they have black friends.
Nobody. Not even black people when they interview them do they ask them that.
This is true. Now, let's go to some internet comments. I did get some internet comments in on this. One says, I'm in tears from reading what Denzel stated. He's right about him and his wife being raised right. I have even more love and respect for them both, or for the both of them. Only a real man can speak those words and know he's a man. I thank him for being an example for what a real man is. See, this is just a Denzel fan. I'm not gonna commend a black-on-black crime. This is somebody's comment. I thank him for being so courageous and upstanding. I hope more men and women can start to find themselves from just reading this statement. Much love. And another one just said, he's quite right. Not because you work with people do you have to be friends with them. And another comment just says, thank you, Denzel Washington, for being so bold and brave. Kissing butt of anyone may get you where they want you to be, but it represents selling your soul. And the last comment speaks to your point. It says, when the cast of Friends said they don't have any black people on the show because it would be unrealistic, no one came out and called any of them out or their producers. And they said, I'm proud of Denzel for standing up and being a man. I'm proud that he is a black man or black person. As a black man or black person, he doesn't feel the need to hang around with people because they're white to be seen as being okay or successful. Those are some of the internet comments that we got on this segment.
Okay. I agree with the Friends. I wish I had heard that when they said it.
Oh, well, see, I didn't watch Friends, so I guess I can't really call that. I can't call it because I didn't really watch Friends. Again,
it would be unrealistic for them to have any black people on the show, meaning that it's unrealistic because we don't have any black friends, so why would we have any on the show?
That's a good point. They wouldn't say that they don't have any black friends. They just said it was unrealistic to their characters. Were their characters racist? I didn't pay any attention, but I will now. If that's what they're saying, that it was unrealistic for their characters because their characters were racist, that would be a whole other story.
Yeah, I mean, like, why else would it be unrealistic?
You know, good point. There is no reason that it should have been unrealistic.
Why is it so unrealistic in America to have a black friend?
I am only laughing because we are the only people who are asked how come we don't have white friends, but it's unrealistic for them to be asked if they have any diversity around them. That's just unheard of. So anyway, okay. So I just want to tell you, you're listening to Black on Black Crime. You can join us at 909-265-9189. Hit 1 on your line if you want to join in on the program. You know, this topic also, it makes me think of television all the time about images and stereotypes. I know we did this on another show before when we talked about scandal and deception. We know those things are fantasy. We've talked about this in the past when we talked about reality shows, Flavor of Love and all of those. And we go, this is a pendulum swing for us about images, is because we are minorities and people feel like that. If we don't validate ourselves with people who don't look like us, then we somehow are a little too different. Now, later on in the show, when we get into our entertainment section, I have a clip of Wayne Brady talking about Bill Maher, because Bill Maher came out and kept saying the president was acting like Wayne Brady. Wayne Brady has a response to that, and I'm going to play it on the show. You'll be interested to hear what Wayne Brady is going to say. But it's just interesting to me that we have to keep going through this. So anyway, black on black crime is being committed by those people who are publishing this stuff. I think that that's a problematic for us as a community to always have to prove ourselves by who we're hanging out with.
Hey, play the clip.
We're not playing the clip yet, but here is for Denzel Washington, though. You said you didn't watch the Oscars, but when they flashed into an audience for kind of announcing the people who were selected, what do you call it, the nominees, Denzel, very humble, and he's a nice guy. Apparently, you know, I think he's a nice guy, but apparently he is. And so he's just kind of humble with what he does. It's just a shame that people are trying to put controversy on. It's funny that people would just try to drag people through the mud. That's a black-on-black crime. So I know we established that, but I just wanted to kind of say that for the record. It is really a bad black-on-black crime.
Yeah, I think so, too. And he's had some, but I don't want to talk about them. He's had a couple of issues. They weren't long-lasting, but I don't want to talk about those. But he came out and talked about it himself, actually, and cleaned it up in a heartbeat.
Okay, you know what? Since you want to commit black-on-black crimes, I was saying anything that harmed his reputation for the long run. He had no, then I would be creating a black-on-black crime if I was to say it. So I'm not going to say it. But he didn't have that. So peace out to Denzel, and great for the nomination. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back with more black-on-black crime. Our next topic is going to be Dr. Ben Carson versus the President of the United States and his comments at the National Prayer Breakfast. We'll check that out and more. You can join us, 909-265-9189. This is Black on Black Crime.
Biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Call or visit fatherhood.gov to learn more.
How many more? How many more street corners?
How many more schools?
How many more movie theaters?
How many more halftime moments of silence?
Enough.
For the children of Sandy Hook Elementary.
Demand a plan.
You can't win without a plan.
I chose the game.
I played the game.
This right here?
Oh, baby, this is not a game.
It's time.
It's time for our leaders to do something.
Demand a plan right now.
Right now.
Now.
What's better, doing two things at once or just one?
Two. Two.
Two.
You sure?
I am absolutely positive.
Two times is awesome. Thing I can do is wave my head and wave.
That's amazing. I've never seen anything like that.
Look, I can do
Hold it. Hold on, I'm watching this.
I'm getting dizzy.
It's not complicated. Doing two things at once is better. And only AT&T's network lets you talk and surf on your iPhone 5.
This is a story about BK from BK. Bernard King from Brooklyn, New York. It's 1984. The garden is packed, and I'm sitting in the last row. I mean, I could touch the roof. And Bernard King, he was giving an edge to the business. 10, 20, 40 points. Second half, 50, 60 points. He was stopping and popping, posted and toasted. All hail the King. Now, you know what? You never know who's going to wear the crown next.
Dad, where do babies come from?
Well, there's a planet. It's called Babylandia. That's right, it's filled with babies. Uh-huh, babies of all kinds. And when the time is just right, there's a space launch.
All systems go.
And that, son, is where babies come from.
But Jake said babies are made when mommies and daddies...
You go, play with us on the bus.
Wheels on the bus go running
round, running round. Wheels on the bus go running round. Welcome back to Black on Black Crime. I'm your host, Jerome. We have the commissioner on. Hey, commish.
Hey.
You know, we had to kind of, you know, after that BK Brooklyn commercial that from Spike Lee, we had to put on some old school for that. All right. Now, our main topic today is Dr. Ben Carson versus the President of the United States. Now, I want to thank Lavina Wishon for sending in her comments for the show. Now, from her note or from her email to us, I decided to kind of add this on and actually do our main topic from one of our listeners. Now, here is what she wrote. She said, "I'm a loyal listener of Black on Black Crime. I'm not able to listen live, but I catch up through the archives, through the podcast, every week, and I'd love to hear your take on Dr. Ben Carson versus President Obama's mess that the GOP is instigating. Apparently, Dr. Carson chose the National Prayer Breakfast as an opportunity to criticize the president's economic policies, and the Republicans are more than thrilled. They now have a smart black guy to be the... I guess I used her name, so I guess I can say this. Their Negro champion. And apparently, the good doctor is chomping at the bits. He even made appearances on another Fox show, followed by a riveting Ask the Smart Black Guy segment. I think that's a black on black crime. Now, he was asked a question about politics and the economy by a panel of Fox News contributors, starting with two black people. She said, "I respect the doctor and all of his accomplishments, but see what he started. The man had any opportunity in the world to address these issues, but he chose the prayer breakfast." And she said, "Brother, why?" So, Kathleen, what do you think about Dr. Carson's, I don't know, his decision to criticize the president at the National Prayer Breakfast?
Well, the first thing I want to say is don't blame it on God.
God.
You know, don't blame it on the prayer breakfast. I'm serious. It's like, you know, they're like, But, you know, because he uses that venue, right? So people may have the, you know, they may make the leap to say that, well, Christians are criticizing the president, and it also because Ben Carson is criticizing him, you know, just trying to find some kind of angle to find a group to say that they're a group of black people that to say that they're unhappy with the president, just like they're looking for the smart, you know, they're not looking for. It just so happens to turn up that here's another smart black guy who not only smart but wealthy. I think that is significant as well. You know, his wealth makes,
right.
Because bunch of smart black guys, right? They're not looking for just any smart black guy. They're looking for a smart, very wealthy black guy that, you know, the world respects, and another African-American darling. You know, that's important, because Herman Cain was not a darling for
right.
African-Americans. So, you know, he was easily dismissed by the masses in the black community. But then Carson, on the other hand, gifted hands, you know.
Right. The movie with Cuba Gooding Jr., right?
Yes, absolutely. The whole movie about him, his books, his successes, his history-making successes, his challenges, his background, his, you know, up-from-the-bootstrap story, all of that makes him a darling. And, you know, you find somebody like that and pit him against the president, it's like, woo-hoo!
Right. Yeah, and it's almost like they hit the jackpot, right, to do
yeah,
that.
Right. Oh, yeah. That story will have legs for years.
Yes. And, you know, I just want to, while I'm thinking about this, Daniel Woodson, I know he's under the weather, he's not here today, but I'm sure Daniel's going to add on to this. So we will bring this up next week. I know most of our panel is not here, so I know Daniel and Low-Key would probably eat this up and finesse. So we are going to carry over some part of this discussion next week, because I think it's crazy. But for me and Ben Carson, here's my thought. You know, if you look at somebody like Einstein was brilliant. Quantum physics, all in any area of mathematics, he was brilliant. He was an idiot when it came to social issues, right? Don't think that just because you're smart in one thing that you can carry that over to something else, right? You're not going to be president just because you're a good surgeon. I just want to say that, because one doesn't equate to the other. It's a left brain, right brain issue when it comes to compassion and that kind of stuff. So just because you're a surgeon, a lot of doctors don't have really good bedside manners. That's why we have nurses. So I just want to say that. Don't think that there's any compassion in that. He might just be looking out for his own tax bracket. So Ben Carson, I have respect for him, of course, but the whole concept of now Fox News, of all people who nobody listens to, is hoisting them on a pedestal. It would just be a shame if other media outlets pick that up as a possibility. That would be the shame of the whole, just him making the statements. So before I go any further, let me kind of tell you what the buzz is about on top of that. Now, Dr. Ben Carson said the buzz created in his speech at the National Prayer Breakfast included a Wall Street Journal staff editorial that said Ben Carson for president. Now, it came as a surprise. He said, I don't think it was particularly political, is what Carson said. He's the director of pediatric neurosurgery at Johns Hopkins. He said, you know, I'm a physician. I diagnose things. And, you know, I've diagnosed pretty significant issues, and I think a lot of people resonate with. With an audience, including the president and Vice President Joe Biden, Carson spoke out about political correctness, health care, and taxes at that breakfast. Now, in his roughly 23-minute address, Carson called for a private health care savings plan and a flat tax for all Americans. Now, his address has gone viral and racking up more than 2 million views on YouTube. The speech isn't his first time that he dipped into national politics, because in 2008, President George W. Bush awarded him with the Presidential Medal of Freedom. I think that deserves some type of loyalty, right? The nation's highest civilian honor. Now, Carson criticized some of the president's policies, but also called him a very talented politician, which is kind of still a slam. That's still a black-on-black crime. He said, there are a number of politicians that I don't believe lead to the growth of our nation and don't lead the elevation of our nation. He said, I would like to see more often in this nation an open, intelligent conversation, not people just casting aspersions at each other. And Carson spoke on ABC's This Week, and he said, I mean it. I mean, you know, it comes from both sides. He's lying. And it also is infantile. As for his own ambitions, Carson, who is 61, is retiring from the practice of medicine this summer, told Jonathan Carl that he's not ruling out a future political office. It's not my intention, but I always said I'll leave that up to God. And check and mate to Dr. Ben Carson on this one. Okay, Kathleen, I'll let you have at that if you followed it.
Well, I don't know. What comes up for me is the separation. Sorry, but the separation of church and state, first of all. And it sounds like he is using this opportunity to launch his political career as a Republican, number two. But he was very strategic in that he waited until the president was reelected to throw his hat in this ring, because I'm sure that had he wanted to really buff it up, he could have been running on anybody's ticket, you know, or had a major appointment on the Republican side if he had started this, you know, whatever it is, discussion, if you will, while the president was running for reelection. So, you know, I don't know what to make out of it.
Well, first of all, who says that he's qualified to be president? Right? If you're not a leader, you can do anything, right? You can, I don't care, you can play a sport, but not to dismiss anybody in their individual talents, truly, right? But if I'm a kicker on a football team, that don't mean I can or cannot be president, right? So just because he's successful in that particular area doesn't say that he has the compassion to be in public service or to be in public office. You have more to consider than budgetary issues. There is a whole lot more to consider. You are representing people. There's compassion. There is foresight. There's insight. There's a lot of things that come to being a leader, not even a politician, to being a leader generally. And I don't care if you lead, you're the leader on your little league team. You have to be a little charismatic to do that. So I think in his statements of a private health care savings plan, it meant that the doctors get a bigger commission. He's a doctor. So that seems pretty doggone selfish. And then you talk about a flat tax for all Americans. So we're not talking about millionaires who have paid zero in taxes over the last 30 years, because it is true that they paid zero in taxes. But just think of it this way. If you're a millionaire, you paid zero in taxes. Now you have all this excess money. You want to pay the same tax as somebody making minimum wage? So Dr. Ben Carlson's statement just kind of signified that for me, to say, all right, first of all, tax fairness is not his platform. It is not just from using words like anybody who criticizes and casts aspersions on each other is, you know, not thinking, right, and infantile. That is retarded and crazy. Now, I don't have anything negative generally to say about Dr. Ben Carson or anybody else, but I can say this. Anybody who's selling that garbage need to be called out, and so that's why we're calling them out, and that is a black-on-black crime for me.
I'm going to go with, hold on a second. He's criticizing. So you think it's a black-on-black crime because you don't think he would have criticized the president if the president wasn't black?
I don't think he would even be in the conversation if the president wasn't black. That's the point, right? This is what racism does, because I've watched this over my political career for who knows how long. When you have a black person at the head of anything, what racist people normally do is they find another black person to try to neutralize black people thinking that we think off of emotion for leadership. We don't. So that is a racist thing to do to begin with. So for him being highly touted as, hey, he could possibly run for president, is just saying he's in their class and he sees things like they do, and they think that they're going to push him forward against another black man so that they don't get called racist anymore.
Yeah, The same thing that they did with Michael Stone and Herman Cain and, you know, quite a few others that have popped up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can even go back. You can go back to, who is that?
Armstrong Williams.
You can go back to Roy Ennis. You can go back to, who was the other guy who ran for Senate? Alan Keyes. Remember him? And then he moved to Chicago and ran for Senate, and he tried to run for something else.
Yeah.
Right. So, I think it's just kind of an old story, just from a perspective that tries to be a little bit. I don't know what's the word I'm looking for, but I just kind of think that we have to have compassion for each other. But just doing that, you know, putting a black person up for the sake of him being black and he's conservative, doesn't mean that any of us has to listen to that garbage. So for anybody listening to Fox News, you shouldn't be watching Fox News for news to begin with. In my opinion, it's not news. Fox News is not news. And I think they showed their hand a long time ago. So Fox News doesn't have the credibility. But putting Dr. Ben Carson up is a whole other story. And I'm going to stop calling him Dr. Ben Carson. I know that's his title. But that is kind of a part of the brainwashing of he knows what he's talking about because he has a title.
Uh-huh.
So
yeah.
If you look at who was the guy who ran for president on the Republican side? I forgot his name. No, last time. That is how much of a blip on the screen that fool was. Romney.
Oh, Romney?
I can't remember his name. Yes. You look at him, it was like he has a successful company and he can save us. Well, the truth was is that he started a company with $30 million of money that was not even his. So he didn't start from scratch. It was kind of a smoke and mirror thing to say they're successful, you should listen to them. And it just doesn't work anymore. It's not a good platform. Anyway, I felt like I interrupted you, Kathleen. Go ahead.
No, that's good job. I'm with you.
Well, hey, I mean, there's nothing to be said about the fact that they kind of still get away with shoving stuff down everybody's throat. And I feel bad that they're using Dr. Carlson, just like to some degree. If you look at what Tavis and those guys are doing, don't mean to commit a black-on-black crime on this one, but the comparison will be made because of criticisms. But if you look at Professor West and all of those guys, because I can't include Tavis with them, he doesn't have those accomplishments, but if you look at Professor West and Carlson, I think they wouldn't agree with each other on policy. But they do agree that criticizing the president will get them attention. I'm sure that they're brothers. They will be brothers in practice for that.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, so we can see how that criticism would kind of elevate to even have a conversation. That's why we had a conversation on Black on Black Crime. But again, I want to thank Lavina for her comments, and feel free to send us. Yes, feel free to send us any topics or comments or questions to bobc@soulofsyracuse.com. That's SOUL of Syracuse, SYRACUSE.com for Black on Black Crime. If you want to comment on these stories, if you want us to talk about some things that we haven't talked about yet, we will definitely get to them. And like I said, we'll carry over some of this on next week, just because I do want to hear. And I'm sure, you know, Daniel and Lowkey and those guys, Kai, is going to want to talk about this stuff because it just seems sad that I have a word for it. It kind of gives you the blues that we always kind of criticize people over stuff that we shouldn't even be, you know, we shouldn't even be talking about. So Dr. Carlson giving us all the blues today. So we'll be back. We're going to go to another break. We'll make this one kind of quick. But we'll come back and talk about the world of entertainment, because we do have Slavery by Another Name. I have an update for that. Kathleen, you are going to find this hilarious. The comedian Louis C.K. on Jay Leno. It made Jay Leno uncomfortable when he talked about race on his program.
Oh, that would be fun.
Yeah. And you're going to also follow about Wayne Brady as well.
Okay.
All right. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Black on Black Crime.
All right, family photo.
Charlie, stop punching your brother. Sarah, stop texting and look at your dad.
I can get the things away.
Yeah, well, just look at your dad so you can get the shot.
Give me a ninja.
Got it.
What?
Okay, wait.
Yeah, I got it. Come here.
Nobody move, especially you, Charlie.
Let's go.
How'd you do that?
Automagically.
Let's see. Combine pictures with best face on the new Samsung Note 2. Available at all major carriers.
Susie is dying to meet you.
Oh, steer clear of Kristen. She can't control herself around chocolate. She'll devour you.
Really?
I'd be a terrible friend if I didn't warn you. Gotta go.
Yeah, thanks for introducing us.
Anything for a friend.
Ooh, strong grip. Ow!
So, you want to grab a bite somewhere?
Here's fine.
Oh, no.
You're white. Start out with a bright future. Then, over time, they become dull and begin to lose their luster. Because washing in the Bargain brand can leave dirt from the wash on your clothes, causing your white to get dingy. New improved High Plus Bleach helps to remove the dirt in one wash to bring your white back to bright. Turning whitish to wow. High Plus Bleach. Style is an option. Clean is not.
Introducing the all-new 2013 Nissan Pathfinder.
Hi.
It seats 7.
Hi.
Or 2. And with a 13-speaker Bose sound system and newly redesigned exterior, you'll go everywhere in style.
Hi.
And Pathfinder's Tri-Zone entertainment system.
My movie just ended. Ours too.
Keeps everyone entertained. The all-new Nissan Pathfinder. It's our most innovative Pathfinder ever.
Welcome back to Black on Black Crime. I'm your host, Jerome, and with Kathleen. What's up, Kathleen?
Hey, Rome. Here.
All right. You hanging out there. We didn't shake up the world too much on our last topic, so I thought we'd do it on this one.
I'm ready.
You ready?
Yep.
All right, you know, I had to take it slow. I had to take a deep breath on that. And, you know, we have some other stuff to follow up. We have some news stories, but first I want to talk about the PBS show Slavery by Another Name. Now, we ran a clip of it, a small preview of it last week's show, and I happened to catch it over the weekend on PBS. Now, if you didn't know, slavery ended in, what was it, 18... Well, I would say the show talked about it by saying 80 years after slavery ended, 800,000 people were enslaved through peonage and involuntary servitude. Now, President Franklin Roosevelt, get this, World War I in 1932 enforced the 13th Amendment as part of the World War One, a part of the war effort, and prosecuted the first slavery case in the country. Now, can you imagine after 1865, the Emancipation and 13th Amendment, all that stuff, it was only until 1932 that the first case was actually brought against somebody, and it was a Texas man who was found guilty and convicted of having 15 slaves in 1932.
Wow.
So if you get a chance to see Slavery by Another Name, it will give you some insight for all of those people who have little issues with, hey, you know, slavery was 400 years ago and all of that good stuff. I don't think you're getting the point. So,
it's not 1932, right? Because my mother was born before that.
Right. Right. And that was, I'm saying that was the first case prosecuted. But that doesn't mean that wasn't the first case. That was the first case prosecuted because people were still being sold into slavery up to 1932.
Right.
Well, probably a little bit after 1932, by the way. But
Look, just the guy that got caught.
Right. That's the only person who got caught and prosecuted. He did serve some time in jail. I can't think of how long it was, but he did serve some time in jail. He had 15 slaves.
No, 2 weeks. Maybe a week per slave or something.
All right, see, you're about to commit another crime. All right, now, I was, when I was looking at the story, I was looking at some other things, and I remember this clip from The Tonight Show, and Louis C.K., and I didn't really know too much about him as a comedian. I knew he was a friend of Chris Rock's and seen him on different programs, but he was on Jay Leno's show. It was close to holidays, I think, and he brought up this point about slavery, about history, and made Jay Leno uncomfortable. So we're going to listen to that. Let's listen to a little bit. Well, we're going to listen to Louis C.K. on the Jay Leno show, on the Tonight Show.
Well, how are your children doing? Are they all right?
My kids are good.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, they can't, on paper, they're great. They're two little white girls in America.
Right, right.
I mean, what?
Yeah.
Sometimes I look at it that way. I look at them, I'm like, you can't say anything.
Yeah.
You're doing awesome.
Right.
Just boilerplate, great life. I gave my daughter medicine the other day, and it was bubblegum flavored, so that she'll take it.
Bubblegum flavored medicine?
I give her, she's got a fever, Tylenol, bubblegum flavor, and she goes, ew. I'm like, ew. You can't say ew. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
it's medicine.
Medicine, right, exactly.
It's medicine. Most children don't have medicine. You're a little white girl in America. You wear clothes made by children your age professionally. You don't get to say ew about your bubblegum medicine. I just want to say I'm not trying to say that if you're white, you can't complain.
Right.
I'm just saying that if you're black, you get to complain more. You can't take people's, like, historical context away from them. And
right.
Everybody wants us to. Like, white people are always like, come on, it wasn't us. Like, they want black people to forget everything. Like, every year, white people add 100 years to how long ago slavery was.
Yes.
I've heard educated white people say slavery was 400 years ago. No, it very wasn't. It was 140 years ago. That's two 70-year-old ladies living and dying back to back. That's how recently you could buy a guy. And it's not like slavery ended and then everything has been amazing. Like, it just...
Oh, glad that's over.
Oh, yeah, it just ended like a clean... where you don't have to wipe. Just boom. And then it's just been parades and presents ever since. You gotta remember that if you meet a black person, they have gray hair, they remember a time they weren't allowed to use a certain toilet. So give them a little, you know, time to be cranky. And by the way, white people have our own thing that we, stuff that we went through.
Sure.
That hurt us that we have to cope with. Like when they took our slaves away. That was really hard for us. And we're still...
All right, now that was Louis C.K., the comedian on Jay Leno. Now, some parts of that was actually really funny to me, but he did bail out white folks at the end to make them feel a little bit comfortable that he was joking when he said that white folks lost their slaves. It kind of brought them back, but you can see if you ever watch the video, because there's actually a clip on YouTube, that Jay Leno was squirming for the whole time, because you don't know how that's going to play when somebody says that. But it was funny to say that his little girl is wearing clothes that girls her age made for. Like, it's like they made that professionally for you to wear at that age, and you're privileged. So, you know, it just kind of made me think about slavery by another name, when even if it's told to you in jokes, and that's what comedians do, they can give you a lot of reality in their jokes. And you know, his joke was the two 70-year-old ladies back-to-back. Slavery wasn't that long ago.
Exactly. We have a guest who wants to, like, who wants to join the conversation.
Yes, feel free. Join in.
Hey, Jerome, what's going on?
Oh, hey, how are you?
I'm good. Listening to the segment, and first and foremost, Louis C.K. has a show on FX. That's pretty hilarious. So I've been, I've seen it a number of times, and he's actually one of the, he's a comedian that's not afraid to actually address the race issue. And he's a very, very intelligent guy and also a very funny guy. But this isn't the first time that he's addressed race, and he always does it in a similar way to the way that he's done it on Jay Leno.
Oh, well, I mean, that was very clever. You know, Louis C.K., and like I said, I've seen him in different situations, but it was just kind of skits. Like, he had very little time to talk. I've never seen a stand-up or anything. But that was very smart comedy. I mean, the way he just even delivered it, just kind of, it made the folks uncomfortable, but he didn't slam them with it. You know what I mean? So it, oh, I think I dropped Sean on this one. But Sean, call back in. I think I dropped you on this. But Louis C.K. was just kind of, for me, one of those comedians that flat out did a really good job of kind of exposing something that we really don't like to talk about. But if you get a chance to check out Slavery by Another Name, it's still on PBS, or order it. I'm sure PBS would appreciate the history of, you know, just having some history in your archives. That will probably work for you. I just want to remind you, you're listening to Black on Black Crime. We're on ESPRI Radio and on ACN, on the ACN Ask Kathleen Network. You can join us, 909-265-9189. And if you hit 1 on your dial for everyone on the line, you can join in on the conversation. I want to thank everybody who's been tuning in week after week. Our numbers are off the chart, so just want to thank you for tuning in. Hopefully we're giving you good programming. You can always participate and join in. I haven't been in the chat room today, but for those in the chat room, thanks for joining in as well. We also have, you know, before we go to our next issue with our Wayne Brady podcast, because just keeping on a theme in the world of entertainment, WeTV picked up a pilot episode of a reality show starring Sonya Richards-Ross. Now, if you don't remember her name, she was the gold medal winner in last summer's Summer Games. She had the controversy. We did talk about her on Black on Black Crime on our first show. You know, Finesse and I kind of went through the whole Lolo Jones thing. But Sonya Richards-Ross was one of those people who were criticizing Lolo Jones for having a lot of attention, and she didn't win. So here we go. WeTV picked up the pilot episode of her reality TV series starring her and her husband. Now, she won the gold medal in the 400-meter race in the Olympics. She already shot a show before with WeTV. Richards-Ross, when she left for London, they were actually filming the show. The series will give the audience a look inside the multi-medal-winning athlete's personal life. She's married to Jacksonville Jaguar cornerback Aaron Ross, and her mother is her agent. Her father's her manager. Her sister is her business partner, and they're going to talk about her professional life, including her physical training as a runner. The announcement was made last week. 8 months later, WeTV has greenlighted a full season of the reality series titled Glam and Gold. Now, filming has already begun, with the network ordering 6-hour-long episodes to debut this summer. So Sonya and Aaron will be on. Well, again, it's Glam and Gold. Now, Sonya and Aaron, who's her husband, have history with WeTV, if I might add, having their wedding featured on WeTV's Platinum Weddings. So if you didn't know, they were already on for Platinum Weddings. Interesting story. And while I'm talking about new shows, a new reality show called My Sister's Keeper will follow the lives of Destiny Child member Michelle Williams, who was also on Black on Black Crime. I know we have a lot of Black on Black Crime alumni participating in these shows, but Black on Black Crime alumni Michelle Williams and her sisters and their pressures of releasing a new solo album through E1 Music. signed to E1 Music's gospel division, Light Records, Williams recently partnered with award-winning gospel label, with that award-winning gospel label, as she embarked on bringing her musical gifts and vibrant spirit to her upcoming third gospel album. Now, that's due to be released September 2013, with the first single coming soon, is what the news release said. So we'll have to keep an eye on that for Michelle Williams. And also, ESPN Films have 9 for 9. Now, this series is coming up. Also, it's inspired by the 40th anniversary of Title IX. Now, Title IX is a 1972 educational amendment known as the Equal Opportunities in Education Act, which states, in part, that no person in the United States shall, on the basis of sex, be excluded from participating in, be denied the benefits of, or be subject to discrimination under any educational program or activity receiving federal financial assistance. Now, ESPN Films will air a series of 9 documentaries under the label starting this summer, highlighting women in sports, including Venus Williams. That series is called Venus Versus. It's described as an in-depth documentary that explores tennis star Venus Williams' fight for fair pay at Wimbledon. I didn't know that she had issues with that, but apparently Venus Williams, I saw a clip. We'll play a clip on next show, but Venus Williams, her fight for her fair pay, and also Cheryl Swoops. Swoops was directed by Hannah Storm. I don't know, from ESPN, Hannah Storm, about the WNBA star Cheryl Swoops, which gives an audience an unfiltered look from the inside of a woman who achieved great things but had great struggles. Now, ESPN will begin airing the films such as Venus Versus on July 2nd through August 22nd. Now, there's also Mary Decker, if you don't know. She's a track runner that somebody bumped her on purpose. She had a knee injury. Mary Decker's story is coming up. We also have Pat Head Summit. Her story, Pat XO, is what hers is called, is another one of the series. Now, the whole series, one of the co-executive producers is Robin Roberts. So Robin Roberts from ABC is one of the co-executive producers of the whole series, 9 for 9, the ESPN Films story. Now, one of the things that I wanted to talk about before we kind of move on from the 9 for 9 story is that with that story, we have Shola Lynch. She's directing, I think she's directing Venus's documentary. I'm not really sure if it's Venus's or someone else, but she's on there. She has a new documentary out. Now, I wanted to play a clip from this documentary that she directed that was already out. It's a documentary called Free Angela and All the Political Prisoners. Now, it's filmmaker Shola Lynch's explores the 41 years ago Davis becoming an international political icon, a woman both exalted and vilified as she fought for the right to assert her beliefs, her speech, and consequently her liberties. Now, the movie, executive produced by Will and Jada Smith and Jay-Z, it is the Overbook Company's movie, centers on Davis's implication in a courthouse murder, kidnapping, conspiracy effort in August of 1970 in California. Now, the trial that ensued after that and Davis's acquittal. So it's going to cover the trial and her acquittal. Now, although she was 26 years old at the time, it was a culmination of a righteous period in Davis's life, is what she said, where she had already been labeled a terrorist by the government and fired from her job as a professor at UCLA. Now, after receiving death threats for her socialist ties, Davis linked up with George Jackson, Black Panther member and a member of the Soledad Brothers, that those the trio, when a gun she purchased for defense was used in a courthouse ambush, several people were killed, and Davis was indicted for her connection with the crime. She hid into hiding following the incident, becoming the third woman ever to appear on the FBI's most wanted list, and was eventually captured and detained without bail, and she went on trial. Eventually acquitted, but she still went on trial for that. So the Angela Davis story that is executive produced by Will and Jada Smith and Jay-Z is coming to the movies, and we'll have a clip next week just to talk about that a little bit. Now, back to our commissioner. How are we doing, commissioner? Are you going to check out that movie?
I am going to check out that movie. Are you kidding me? I mean, listen, I'm going to check out that movie. Angela Davis has been a heroine of mine for years and years and years and years. You know, I had posters of her with that afro, the staple poster of Angela Davis all over the house, you know, and my mother was trying to, you know, take that poster down, you know what I mean?
Like, right.
You know, right. Because what she really represented, rebellion, you know, the Black Panther Party. I definitely will go see the movie. And I'm very happy that Will, Jada, and Jay-Z are putting their stamp on our history, because by this generation of artists who have a really close tie to the hip-hop community and much, much younger people coming up, when they say, hey, this is important and significant, that's what will get them to listen,
right.
Inspire them even more to listen and watch it. Like, I can tell my kids and so forth to watch it, and they probably will, but it becomes hip when Jay-Z and Jada and Will, who are still relevant, say it, you know? So
right.
I think that's awesome.
Yeah, and it does give the freedom of the director and of all the other producers to tell the story in a way that is more reflective of what happened. It's not, the spin won't be there, because Angela Davis is a part of this.
She
was there. And you know what I didn't realize? I don't know, out of all the years of knowing about Angela Davis and the Panthers and all that, I did not know she was a professor at UCLA.
Oh, yeah. She's been a decorated professor for years and years. And, you know, she probably makes – I don't think she's making what Hillary Clinton, of course, will make on the speaker circuit, but she makes a ton of money on the speaker circuit, a ton. Everybody wants her to come. And the interesting thing is that she will get more calls from your,
well, she's academic. Mm-hmm.
And your Ivy League than anything else. So she's at Harvard all the time, at Yale all the time, Princeton, you know. So, yeah, she's been a decorated professor for years. I'm very excited about Angela Davis and what she has accomplished despite, you know, her stance, and her claim in history is an honor to recognize her for it.
There is an online petition for Angela Davis, because wherever she lives, I can't think of where she lives, what city, but there's a petition that whoever the city zoning board decided to move the property line of some playground up to Angela Davis's house. So they have a playground next to her house. And so, of course, historically, we know that we're going to have to preserve Angela. She still lives there. But we should probably preserve that, and the city board and the zoning board actually kind of disrespect her. They're supposed to put trees up and a barrier far enough away that they wouldn't even get, you know, too much sound from the playground on it. And, you know, they just disrespect Angela Davis. That was just crazy. I don't know why I wanted to mention that, but I know that that's going on right now, and talking about the respect that you would think that people should have for Angela Davis and just the work that she put in. So I want to kind of say we don't recognize them and we don't kind of move forward on helping out where it's time to help out. So Angela Davis is free, but we still always have work to do in preserve icons. So you're right, Jay-Z, Jada, Pinkett Smith, Will Smith, Sean Carter, we'll call him Jay-Z, but Sean Carter, all of those guys who participate in this movie, I am definitely going to see it. So I just wanted to put that out there and make sure everybody knew what was going on.
Yeah. Okay. I was going to come to Black on Black Crime, and I decided not to. So.
Yeah, you were going to? And by the way, for the Black Panthers, you know, it still started at a college. Dr. Huey P. Newton, you know, when we talk about Huey Newton, people don't realize that he's a doctorate student. He's Dr. Huey P. Newton. And most people who came out, I know we kind of make a black-on-black crime out of those people who are connected and disconnected. But they came from the community, but they still kind of accomplished some things. They weren't dummies. So when you watch Fox News and those guys, they say, oh, Black Panther, socialist, and all this, and they start making those things up. Like, these kids were dummies. They were just young. And she was 26 at the time, so she wasn't a kid. But she put it down. She put it down.
I mean, everybody who was a fan of the Black Panther Party, we were very clear that they were not dummies, not by any stretch of the word.
Right.
Every single one of them are authors, you know, Eldridge Cleaver, Huey Newton, Angela Davis, I mean, and the list goes on. And what they were able to accomplish and the speeches that they gave, you know, just Google it. Look up the speeches that Angela Davis delivered. She's brilliant. Eldridge Cleaver, Huey Newton, come on. Brilliant. People try to make you think that the only brilliant orators and brilliant minds of the time were Malcolm X and Dr. King. And that is and not to take anything away from them, because of course they are that, but there were hundreds of them, hundreds, maybe not to the same stature or the same, you know, weren't acknowledged in the same way or didn't have the same positioning as they did. But that's always the case. You know, President Barack Obama is not the only smart black man in America at this time, you know. He's not the only brilliant one. And that is not to take anything at all away from them.
You don't have to qualify that on this program. See, we are all smart. So I just wanted to make sure say that. And along with that, you know, the Black Panthers was founded by Bobby Seale and Huey Newton. And so Bobby Seale, isn't he in Congress?
Yes, he was.
So don't act as if these folks are not educated and all that good stuff. But we have Daniel on the line that I knew. Daniel, I didn't know if you was going to be feeling well enough to talk on the show today. How you doing, brother?
Yeah, I'm just coming out from under anesthesia, man. Feeling nice.
That is always a good day. Okay.
I know what you're saying.
Daniel was like, I can host another half hour.
Yeah, man, I can.
Out of where? When he's coming out of where?
I'm the anesthesia. I had to get some injections in my back. I've been having back problems for quite a while now. So a friend of mine turned me on to a clinic.
I'm glad you
feel right. Yeah, man. Hey, the sun is shining a little brighter. Everything you
do. I'm both killing me.
So that's all they gave you, Daniel. I'm just saying.
Which is like,
y'all had a great show. So y'all had a wonderful show.
Well, you know what? But you know what? We have time because I want to get your comment on here. I know you're feeling nice, but I want to get you on the record. And we already had, and we're going to talk about this next week. Dr. Ben Carson, you know, kind of made some statements against the president on the National Prayer Breakfast, and I want you to comment on that. But we'll save that till next week because you're feeling nice. So we just covered.
I didn't hear the comment, but I know Ben Carson's story quite well. Very impressive, groundbreaking, the things that he did for his expertise in his field.
Okay, but we're not going to bring I don't want to – go ahead. Now, I'm not going to bring the show down because I trashed him earlier.
Oh, you did? Well, see, I don't know what he said.
Right.
But go ahead.
No. I was saying I'm going to let you give you a chance because we know that he's decorated and you know, all of the great things that he's done, but he made some comments at the National Prayer Breakfast, and now they're hoisting him up on Fox as the next black guy. And so we're going to talk about that next week. But I wanted to get your comments before, because you're not going to have enough time to sit with that, so I didn't want to ambush you with this. Let's go on to the criticism of Wayne Brady, because I really want you to hear this. Now, Wayne Brady, you know, as a slam against Wayne Brady, what is his name? Bill Maher kind of said something about Wayne Brady and saying that he was acting a certain – the president was acting like Wayne Brady and this kind of thing. So Wayne Brady came out and finally responded. Now, I shouldn't say finally because he didn't have to respond to this, but he responded on Aisha Tyler's show. She has a podcast out. So I want you to check this out. This is going to be his response to some of the comments that Bill Maher has made about Wayne Brady. And it's flat out, I'm playing Roughneck for a reason. This is Wayne Brady on Aisha Tyler.
See, but even Bill Maher, like I've had Bill Maher twice now when referencing Obama. He's like, yeah, you know, with your Wayne Brady, who did... So that means that it's a diss to Obama to be called me because he wants a brother or what he perceives. Just because you fuck black hookers, just because you've had that particular black experience, and I had to stop myself from getting into it, Bill, because I realized the thing is that if I would have gone on a show or even doing it online, I'm not going to win, because as soon as you back off, he still has his platform to say whatever he wants to. So, you know what, that's fine. But I do say this on your podcast, and if he ever hears, because he should listen, because you're brilliant. If he once said, oh, I want to know how black Wayne Brady is, that chip on my shoulder says that rarely do you threaten a man and you should not fear anyone. I'm not saying I'm Billy Bat, but if Bill Maher has his perception of what's black wrapped up, I would gladly slap the shit out of Bill Maher in the middle of the street. And then I want to see what Bill Maher would do. Now, Bill Maher would call the cops and he would have his lawyer and I'd get sued and lose my house and it's not worth it for me. But the black man part of me would be so satisfied to slap the shit out of him in front of Coco and Ebony and Fox, the three ladies of the night that he has hired.
I think there's one called Fancy, too.
Fancy, who also happened to be named Tyreek at one point. So, and the thing is, that comes from a place of actually respecting Bill Maher's comedy and loving him until I heard that, because I took that personally.
Yeah.
You mean to slam the leader of the free world with my name because I'm not the aggressive black man? That's fine. Let's go,
Although
Bill.
I will say what's exciting about it is that your name and your persona and your identity has become such a cultural touchstone that you're quoted in bits about other people.
Who knew? You know, that on the flip side,
yeah.
Amen. Hallelujah.
You've
like
become a pop culture reference.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I'm impressed by your baldness.
There he is. Thank yourself, fool. Oh, it's
now, that was my impression of Bill Maher was going to do when Wayne Brady saw him. It was the Dave Chappelle. Is Wayne Brady son? No. Anyway, I just wanted to share that. Daniel, what did you think about what Wayne's response was?
Well, all I caught, because something's going on with my phone. I'm getting some interference, but the whole slapping him across the face to get the black experience. I would love to see that happen. I mean, I think Bill Maher is kind of a little out of control. He does his own thing. Kind of for shock value.
Right.
But from what I'm gathering is that he hasn't truly met a brother. And even when he met Michael Eric Dyson, he was blown away by his eloquence and his matter-of-factness, and he really couldn't say anything. So I think he really truly needs to meet brothers on the block to maybe refine his opinion. But you know, as long as he has his own platform, he's going to do his thing, you know, because it's his show. So I guess that's the best I can opine on it at this point.
Well, okay, so here's the thing for me. Like I said before, black people are bilingual, and you never test their blackness for whatever reasons that you think you may want to do that, white folks don't realize that we become bilingual to deal with them. Like, if you grew up around black folks, you become bilingual. The cultures are totally different. So, you know, that was safe for, you know, Paul Mooney to say, you make, what is the name, Brian Gumbo look like Wayne Brady or something. Like, that was a joke on Dave Chappelle. But you see how Dave Chappelle even addressed it. Wayne Brady came on there and was gangster for the whole show. So that whole Training Day thing, I started to play that clip, but I didn't want to let go of just pieces of what he was saying on Aisha's show, because one of the other things that he said was, you have all these ailments sleeping with black hookers and stuff. That don't make you black. You don't relate to the black experience to even call anybody names, because what we know as black people, if you run into somebody when you call them out their name, it's like talking about somebody's mama when you don't know them. Now, the dozens are fun, I got to tell you. But when you do that to somebody who you don't know, you might have a problem. Kathleen, did you want to say about that?
I love Wayne Brady.
And you know why I found that clip, Kathleen?
I love Wayne Brady. Yes, how'd you find it?
I found the clip because I want to play the clip from the BET Honors, and I cannot find it yet.
Oh, okay.
He did such a great job on the BET Honors that I wanted to play his singing outstanding, and he did a great job. But I'm going to play that on the show when I get it. But I ran across that, and I said, okay, I have to play this, because it just kind of goes into the theme that we have to be bilingual, and everybody thinks that we are not bilingual. Like, we don't tolerate more than what we're tolerating. Everything's not equal now. Everybody's not cool people. We are having some things going on in this world that we are just not really talking about.
Right. Cool.
So it just seemed kind of interesting. So I just wanted to definitely bring Daniel in on that to get his opinion on Wayne Brady. But we're going to cover all that other stuff.
Well, I'll say this about Wayne Brady. I think he's played the role to get the shows that he's had, because he has to speak their language. But don't sleep on the brother.
Exactly.
He's the straightest can be.
Right.
I mean, he's been in this skin his entire life. So if he has to pretend to be the white, quote-unquote, Oreo Wayne Brady to get his role and get his grilla, his cheese, let him do that. But he was wrong for brother, I guarantee you.
You know, and what's funny about that is, I think that he's just being himself. So when he feels like being funny or doing a sing-along, Wayne Brady can sing. And so I know he did that show, The Singing Bee or something. So he did that, Let's Make a Deal. Don't sleep on the fact that, I think it was Big Boy from Outkast. He said that about Hammer when he and Andre 3000 were being interviewed. And Big Boy said, look, don't sleep on Hammer. Hammer will beat your boop.
He said, hey, Hammer grew up in Oakland, man. Oaktown.
That's right. He said, so y'all think, you know, Can't Touch This and all those nice songs don't mean that he has an edge to him. He said, don't roll up on Hammer. So it reminds me of Wayne Brady. It's like, you just can't roll up on folks because they're doing something for their job or because they seem easy. That stereotype is just a stereotype to you. But, that, hey, like they said, any hood will kill you. So you can't just arbitrarily just go back and think it's safe. We're in a safe place because, hey, it's Wayne Brady. Wayne Brady don't get down like that.
All right, you got.
What'd you say, Kathleen?
Oh, no, I was just saying that I got into a place that's noisy and my phone is dying. So I want to send you all my love for a phenomenal day as I was basking the sunshine here.
Oh, look
and,
at that.
Rome, I will catch you. I'll talk to you a little bit later. Daniel, I'm glad you're feeling better, my love.
Yeah, I may have to lose you in a minute because I got to get upstairs and I'm kind of a little wobbly.
Apparently, y'all don't hear the exit music.
Okay.
let me hit
y'all back.
All right. So, everybody carry on, and you'll be fine.
All right.
Thanks, Joe Rowe. Go, Wayne Brady. Go.
All right.
See you
Dave
all
feeling
week.
Good.
Because Wayne Brady will